Welcome to the I Believe podcast, an Acure Insight production, brought to you by Castle Biosciences. I'm your host, Danae Peterson, a fellow ocular melanoma survivor. Here on the podcast, we'll be sharing information and insights on treatments, research, and living with ocular melanoma.
Castle Biosciences tests are designed to provide clinicians precise and personalized tumor information for the benefit of patient care. If you would like more information about how Castle is transforming the treatment of eye cancer, visit castletestinfo.com.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us back on the I Believe podcast. Today I'm joined by special guest Ellie De Los Pinos from Aura Biosciences, and I am so thrilled to have her. She is so exciting to listen to. Like, she has so much passion for what she does. And so without further ado, Ellie, thank you for being here on the show.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
So Ellie, can you just tell us a little about yourself personally, your background, your career, and just kind of how you got passionate about what you currently do?
Yes. So I am a scientist. My background is in molecular biology. I have a PhD and a postdoc. And the reality is that all my life, I've studied the background or the science around cancer biology. But early on in my career, I decided that rather than being in academics, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I really wanted to develop new drugs for cancer patients. That was early on, and I am one of the lucky ones that I actually was able to follow my dream and build a company that actually has that sense of purpose, which is to develop new treatments for patients that really need them.
I love that. So can you just tell us why you founded Aura Biosciences?
Yes, I founded Aura Biosciences because I wanted to develop a new class of drugs, something completely different that would really be innovative and it will bring clinical benefit to patients. When I started Aura, initially I wanted to treat cancer broadly. Then as we partnered with the NIH, who and the scientific founder's name is Dr. John Schiller, and he had developed the technology that's the basis for the science that we're developing at Aura. And when we initially decided where to focus, we thought that particular technology in the initial data would be ideal for the treatment of ocular cancers. So while initially when I started Aura, I was envisioning it to work for many cancers, and ultimately we will do that, we started with ocular oncology, and I'm so proud we did that.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing. So can you just give us a little more of an overview of Aura Biosciences as a company, what their mission is, and just their vision for the future?
Yes. Our vision is to develop a new class of drugs for the treatment of cancer. We envision truly a new way of treating cancer. And I say that because I think that usually as we look at cancer treatments, they have so important trade-offs for patients. In particularly as we look at ocular oncology, the current treatment for an early stage cancer that's not yet metastatic is radiotherapy. And that initially, my vision was, I want to make sure that whatever we do is transformative, that we not only develop something that it's very efficacious, but it will preserve the organs, it will preserve the functions, it will not have the trade-offs that cancer patients have to go through today. That was the mission. And I believe that what we are trying to accomplish is precisely that, if something that will be as effective or even better than the surgery or radiotherapy that we have as tools for cancer treatment, but it will be so targeted and so safe that patients will have no trade-off when using these drugs.
That's incredible and such a powerful just vision and dream for the future. I love it. And it's obvious just from what we are going to learn more today that you guys are really working hard to develop that science and develop the therapies that will do that. So can you just tell us, you mentioned that you guys originally meant to do cancer or to treat cancer broadly, and that you ended up narrowing your focus to ocular oncology. What was the kind of the origin of that narrowing of the focus to ocular oncology and specifically to ocular melanoma?
Yes. So when we started trying to decide where in clinical development we would do our first steps, ocular oncology met a lot of the key things that we were looking for. Number one was a high unmet medical need that was life-threatening. Did patients need better options? That was the number one criteria. We didn't want to do something where other big pharma companies had been there for 20 years and we were just improving on someone else. We wanted to do something where if we were successful, it would be transformative because there was nothing else. That was number one. Number two, in the treatment of the eye, especially when you do innovative research, right? Our virus-like drug conjugates had never been developed before. It was an opportunity for us to do it in a space that was kind of like a smaller space. Usually, if you have to develop something for, you know, a larger cancer indication, your scale up, the amount of capital that you have to raise is much larger. But specifically in the treatment of the eye, where it's a confined cavity, we thought, this actually, with the investment that we have, we can show it. We can show that it's safe and we can show that it works without having to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. So that was number two. And number three was, can we do it? And if we are successful, will it transform the treatment paradigm? So not only is something that will be, you know, nice to have, but it will be something that we will say, we did it, we're so proud we did it, and look how it changed, you know, the life for so many patients.
That's incredible. So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk a little more about Bel-sar, this initial drug that you guys have created, and how it works. And let's specifically make sure that we touch a little on the abscopal effect and just the prevention of metastases that you guys anticipate from this medication.
Yes, our drugs are very unique, and we usually explain it as a dual mechanism of action. The first mechanism is, imagine that you have a drug that works very well and you're guiding it towards the tumor, right? This is not a drug that is going to go everywhere. It's very targeted and will only bind the cancer cell, because the virus-like particle, this shell of a virus that we're using, will only go and bind specific receptors that are only on cancer cells. So that's mechanism number one, targeted cytotoxicity. But mechanism number two is extremely important, because we have, the way we kill the cancer cell, we basically expose, imagine if we have like a red flag for the immune system. So the immune system is like, wait a second, there is something wrong, and there's something wrong right there where the tumor is. So this activation of the immune system is very important, because we generate a T cell response, and not just a broad T cell response, but a T cell response against the tumor neoantigens that are exposed early on. And that has two key benefits. The key number one is that in our preclinical studies with the NIH, we have seen that this T cell response is durable and is systemic, which means that even if you don't have, if you treat the eye, you may maybe have one or two cells that are circulating in your body, micrometastases that are undetected. Well, by having this CD8 T cell response, we would be able to treat them wherever they are. So that's where it's called the abscopal effect, because by treating something locally, you kind of prime your immune system, and now you have your warriors all over the place looking for cells that are not, that shouldn't be there, and killing them wherever they are. So we're very excited with that, because while our promise is to treat early with something that is vision preserving, but at the same time, to try to expose that or trigger the immune system to protect you from the rest, for this cancer, for the rest of your life. So again, it is an exciting mechanism. It's very new, but it's showing a big promise with the safety and efficacy that we're having in the phase 2 study. So we're all very excited.
That's So exciting. And I love how you explain that. I feel like the visuals and just your ideas of kind of the visual of this little warriors going to battle for you the rest of your life is so powerful. So let's talk a little about how Bel-Sar specifically makes a difference for patients and which patients might benefit the most from having treatment with Bel-Sar.
Yeah, so our positioning for Bel-Sar is as early as possible frontline. So when we discuss this with the top opinion leaders, including Dr. Carol Shields, and we're like, where is the unmet need? And said, like, look, in this disease, we diagnose patients so early, even with indeterminate lesions that we're kind of like, we wait a little bit, maybe don't treat them too early because, you know, we only have radiotherapy to treat them with, and we know that we're going to be affecting vision and damaging the vision for the rest of the life of the patient. So that's where ideally you want to be. And so that's our hope. That all the what we classify as early stage disease, which is indeterminate lesions, small melanomas, frontline, when they are firstly diagnosed, when you have that melanocytic lesion in the back of your eye that it's black, as early as possible, that's where we hope to be. Because with the safety profile that we're demonstrating, there's no trade-off. Right? You don't have to give up your vision. You don't have to have a difficult surgery. You don't have to have something that will be a comorbidity. It's very safe. And so why not treat as soon as possible? And if we can have those little warriors activated as soon as possible in your life, the better, right? So that's our hope. And that's why the study is designed initially for the registrational, which is the potential approval of the drug for early stage disease.
That is so incredibly powerful. And so you mentioned that with the development of where you guys are with Bel-Sar, that there's kind of various stages you guys have gone through. So can you just kind of break down the stage of development of Bel-Sar right now and the current ongoing clinical trial?
Yes. So I usually call Aura like my daughter, and it has gone through all of the phases from being a child to an adolescent. And I consider it like nearly a professional. So, you know, when you're a child, a drug as a child is basically in a lab out of NIH, and you're defining all the aspects of the efficacy of the drug, the safety, so that the FDA allows it to get into the clinic. And that was a big step. The first few years of the company were working hand to hand with the NIH, trying to make sure that we had every single aspect of safety so that we could dose a patient and not put that patient at risk, but show the power of a new drug. The second life, adolescence, is when you start in phase one clinical development. And that was, you know, phase one, phase two. It means you test the drug, you do what's called the dose escalation. So you start with a very small amount of drug just to see if there's anything that you haven't seen in animals that potentially could be a risk. That's very important because at that stage of development, safety always comes first. And we're so, so careful with the FDA, of course, and the and any regulatory agencies, right? Safety for the patient comes first at that adolescent stage. So once you demonstrate that, which in our case, it was the first study was with 50 patients. We were using intravitreal administration because that was so well known in the ophthalmology space. And we thought, okay, so now we know that we can go up to 2-3 cycles of treatment, the patients tolerated really well, there's a little bit of inflammation, perhaps if we switch to suprachoroidal administration, we'll keep the same efficacy but improve the inflammation with intravitreal that we were seeing with intravitreal. And so we did. And that was the second part of the adolescent stage, getting closer to college, which is we changed to suprachoroidal, we run what's called a phase two study. We kind of like wanted to make sure that we knew how, you know, the safety profile would work out, because then what the FDA allows you to do after phase two is to say, okay, now you're in phase three, which means now it's like, you know, your internship before you go and start professionally. And that is, you want to use the drug that's done in the commercial manufacturing way, prove the safety in a larger sample size, like 100 patients, and then also show that it works as well as you've shown in phase two. So that's what was the kind of like big step for Aura. We went from phase two. We knew that suprachoroidal was the right way. We validated the safety. That was kind of like an important thing for us as moving forward with this route. And we also confirmed the efficacy. We're actually really happy to see that, yes, at least in this set, it's kind of working really well as we would expect. So now the big step for us as this, phase three study. And now it's checking the box for me, because when I started on it, I thought, if I am successful, I want to do something that will be for everyone, regardless of location, regardless of their economic background. If anyone has this disease and I am at the helm, it will be available to everyone. So for us, this global study, like we're going to 19 countries. It gives me kind of the chills to think that we're like still a small company. We're only 100 people, and we have, the ambition to really bring this innovation, this novel way of treating eye cancer to 19 different countries. So we are kind of counting on something very important, which is our beloved ocular oncology community. So far, they are incredible. And I say this because I have never in my life worked with a community of physicians that it's more dedicated to their patients and to clinical research and innovation than this one. It truly is a privilege to work with them. So now that's the challenge. As I call it, it's a three-way win, which is our physicians, the ocular oncologists, our patients, and Aura, all in to get this drug through the finish line. And that's why, Danet, you're amazing, because we need the patients. We need patients' awareness. We need them to be all excited to make sure that if you know of anyone, you call them and you say, look, just try. This could be something very special. So that's where we are. Hopefully, it's as exciting as we feel.
Oh, I think that's incredible. Thank you so much for just outlining that and sharing your passion for this. And I had no idea that you guys were reaching out to 19 different countries. That's going to be so amazing to see how far of a reach this treatment option can have. All right. So Ellie, can you summarize some of the other areas of critical research that Aura Biosciences is focused on in addition to uveal melanoma?
Yes, we're excited because we want to bring innovation to the entire field of ocular oncology. So uveal melanoma is the first step. We are very excited this year to launch our study in choroidal metastases. These are cancers that start, for example, in the breast and metastasize to the eye. They metastasize to the choroid, the exact same location where uveal melanoma starts. So we believe we can treat these cancers too and provide a vision-sparing therapy for these patients that are undergoing already or surviving breast cancer. And now they are blinded with the current radioactive treatments, and we could prevent that from happening. So really excited about that. And again, ocular oncology doesn't stop there. We have the hope and will to transform cancers of the ocular surface. That's like squamous cell carcinoma of the conjunctiva, melanomas of the conjunctiva, and also retinoblastoma. So we will go big. We don't want to start with the first indication. We really want to make sure that the ocular oncology field as a whole benefits from innovation because of us.
Excellent. So if patients are interested in learning more specifically about Aura Biosciences and the current trials that you have for uveal melanoma, as well as other research that you guys have ongoing, where would be the best sources for that information?
Yeah, so the patient foundations, like obviously yours, where we have a great relationship and we are so happy to support, will be a natural way to find the information. Clinicaltrials.gov is a great page where all of our clinical trials that are currently ongoing are published there. And then through obviously our website, we have an opportunity to just reach out and we will direct them to our medical team.
Wonderful. So if patients are specifically interested in participating in the COMPASS trial, then who should they contact?
So for the COMPASS trial, we have a there's going to be a COMPASS website where it's going to be very easy to access and reach out. And obviously, there are going to be links to that website through, again, the patient foundations and through our website. So that's going to be live very, very soon. And that's going to be a great way to reach out. Obviously, through the network of ocular oncologists, which hopefully most of them or the majority of them are either participating or aware of our drug. That's also a natural way to get information from the study.
So you mentioned ocular oncologists, and so can you just tell us what kind of a role or what's the most important role that physicians like ocular oncologists can play in spreading the word about the opportunity of the COMPASS trial?
So important. What we've heard is that this is the first global registration-enabling clinical trial that could potentially lead to the first approval for early-stage disease. Physicians are the anchor for us to spread the word, to engage patients, to make sure that the entire community is involved throughout. Patients, clinical research, our development team, our clinical team, everyone working and rowing in the same direction to get to the finish line.
Wonderful. All right. And then is there any room for patients to refer other patients as far as spreading the word around the trial goes? Is that a helpful avenue?
Absolutely. This is one of the most powerful things we have is referrals. And so if you know, if you've heard, if you have a friend or loved one, please, please send them to us. Again, through our website, through our patient foundations, through our clinical research, the ocular oncologist, please refer. This is, I always say it's a team effort to bring innovation to a new disease like this, and we all need to participate. So please do.
I love what you said, and I feel like that's a perfect way for us to end this episode, that it is a team effort, and we're so grateful that you guys are on the team of ocular melanoma and just moving the needle forward in research and innovation. So thank you for joining us today, Ellie from Aura Biosciences, and we look forward to hearing more about what you guys have in store.
Thank you so much. We're here to make a difference. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the I Believe podcast, brought to you by Castle Biosciences. Please be sure to subscribe, and if you're so inclined, send this episode over to friends, family, and share on your social media to help spread awareness around OM. If you have a moment, leave us a brief review or consider making a donation to the links in the show notes to keep our podcast going. Feel free to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Acure Insight. We'll see you next time on the I Believe podcast.